It's time for JT the Brick.
This show has been the show of record Raiders Radio for 25 years. Let's keep up the passion. We need to reset the show. There's never an off season in the Raider Nation. I've done this rodeo before. What are we going to do? We're going to talk sports. All different types of sports, because we do a sports talk show, mixing in the NBA, mixing in basketball and the Golden Knights. We're going to start talking sports.
JT the Brick.
We have the best fans in all of sports calling this show for over a quarter century. We hope that remains the same whenever you want to pick up the phone. You know, we love to hear from the heart and soul of Raider fans all over the globe on the Raiders mobile app. So we're going to be a sports talk show, mixing in the NBA, mixing in basketball and the Golden Knights. My job every day is to come in with passion and energy, give you something to talk about, react to. Hopefully you want to react to it, comment on it, and we do a talk show.
And now,
no bueno.
Here's JT the Brick.
Out of the gate, JT with you. Man, we got into YouTube earlier today, so 10 minutes before the show, you could be live inside a radio show if you download the YouTube and go to JT the Brick YT. We have a lot of friends in there already, man, and they all want to react to Antonio Pierce and his press conference. Man, we have a lot of sleuths. We have a lot of detectives in YouTube as we open up the show today. Everybody's trying to kind of pick apart Antonio Pierce. Is he giving us any clues about the quarterback and what's going to happen? Welcome in. I'm fired up. It's a Rolling Stones weekend. I met my wife as a stranger walking into a Rolling Stones show. She took a John Cougar Mellencamp ticket stub, ripped it, threw it in a barrel. They picked her name out of the barrel by herself, not two, one. She went by herself. I went with my buddies to the Hard Rock Center Bar, and we met, and we've been together. Our 25-year wedding anniversary, Bobby, is September 4th. Wow. I got to get with Modelo on my Modelo Fridays. I got to get with a restaurant. I got to figure something out. Maybe we'll throw a live concert or something, man. That's going to creep up on me quick. My 25-year wedding anniversary. Thanks to my wife for putting up with me. She put up with me all week. I've been going through this tech support problem, man. I've spent the last 3 months trying to figure out live streams, computers, microphones, and all this. I've been a pain in the blank to deal with. But we got a big weekend, man. We got a big weekend because we're going to see the Stones. And I always said, go to where the memories are. Memories won't come to your couch. They won't come to you. You got to go to them. So the Stones are here. If Mark Davis did not build Allegiant Stadium with the help of many people who I often reference, the Stones couldn't play in Vegas. Sorry, no Sam Boyd, no T-Mobile, nothing. They wouldn't be able to play here. So what have the Raiders done? Hey, let's give a shout out to Mark Davis, who's a rock guy. He's a rock and roll guy, and he watches the YouTube stream from time to time. Mark could be in there right now. I'll say this again. If he didn't build the stadium or have the vision to get it done on time and on budget, we wouldn't have the Stones here. And you can talk about economic impact. Ask an Uber driver about this weekend. Ask the Modelo guys about beer sales. Ask the casinos about hotel occupancy. I'm sure Vegas would have been pretty full this weekend and Memorial Day, but we got the Rolling Stones here. So stop with the economics in Oakland. Stop with the economists from Stanford saying, we don't need a stadium. We need roads and hospitals and schools. No, you need stadiums. Because if you don't have stadiums, you don't have teams. And if you don't have teams, you don't have fun. And if you don't have fun, what's the use of having a life? You got to have fun. The Rolling Stones bring me fun. Now, for those who say they're 80 years old, you're right. You're right. I've seen, this will be my 19th or 18th. My wife and I are off by one show, either 18 or 19 Stone shows for us. I could have put a kid through college on what I paid for the Stones, including this ticket. I could put my son through his senior year at ASU. He's coming up on his senior year. I'm paying for it. That's all right, son. I said I'd pay for college. I would pay for college. I've done well in my career, thanks to the listeners of Raider Nation Radio. But I took a chunk out of my son's senior year in college to pay for these tickets. I'm not joking. I'm talking, people go to college for the price of what I'm paying to be up front for this show. But we're going to have fun. Appreciate everybody being there. Everybody checking out what we're doing here on the YouTube as we get going. So here's the show. The dean of the newsmen, Chris Matthews, who asked the last question at the press conference as everybody was getting up ready to leave. Chris had one more. He'll join us at 12:30. Next hour, Bobby carved up about 10 minutes of Antonio Pierce. We'll play that. I'd rather listen to the coach than me. I'd rather listen to the quarterback than me. So we'll hear a portion of that. I'll get into this Raiders season total of 6.5. I don't want that to depress me or bum me out heading into the weekend. I don't want to walk into the Stones getting ready for Jumpin' Jack Flash and Sympathy for the Devil, thinking that the Raiders are only win total is 6.5 wins. I don't want to be in that mood. I want to be in a happy mood, but I'll go into that. And then my Knicks play tonight, and I don't think my Knicks have much of a chance. I really don't. I don't think they have much of a chance. They're a 7.5-point underdog because Brunson's going to be a game-time decision, and Ananobi's not playing. And the Knicks have been getting all the calls from the refs. They've been getting all the calls, so I expect Indiana to get all the calls tonight. I don't gamble, and I root for the Knicks. I never root against my team. You know, Bobby, there were some Raider fans who were rooting against the Raiders last year to lose games so they'd get mysteriously a better quarterback. So if the Raiders would have lost to the Chargers, we put up 63. If the Raiders wouldn't have swept Denver last game of the year, remember we beat them the first and last game, maybe the Raiders wouldn't have had the 13th pick and they would have had like the 7th. Still wouldn't have got a quarterback, probably. I mean, they could have got Michael Penix, maybe. But there were even Raider fans tell me, I hope we lose. Go find another show, man. I want them to win every game. I don't want them to lose a game. I got to do the post-game show from the Modelo Cantina. It is not what I like when they lose. So the Raiders at 13 got Brock Bowers. That was a gift from the football gods. The football gods laid down a gift to the Raiders, and Brock Bowers, the greatest tight end ever to play. Oh, we don't need a tight end, JT. We got Michael Mayer. Oh, really? We don't need a guy in the slot? We don't need a guy that you can hand the ball off to. We don't need the greatest college football player in Georgia history. We don't need any of that. What are you talking about? Brock Bowers fell to us. We should thank the football gods for that. We're lucky. That's all luck. And oh my God, I'm going to say it again. Raise your hand and beep your horn if you were stupid enough to believe that coin toss story. They had a camera in the war room. George Atkinson was in the war room. He would have dove over the table if he saw a coin toss. There was no coin toss for Brock Bowers. And there were Raider fans who have a fish hook in their mouth, and they believe that. There was a coin toss to get Brock Bowers. Stop it. Tyrion Arnold. No, there wasn't. Brock Bowers was a gift, and they got him there. Now use him, as Mikey O jumps into the chat. You better use him. I said I thought we failed Michael Mayer. A lot of people were ruffled when I said that. What do you mean by that? I might get back to Michael Mayer. We failed him because we didn't get him the ball enough. We should have got him the ball more. We didn't last year. We cannot allow that to happen with Brock Bowers. Luke Getsy has got to look in. How do you think Luke Getsy is going to feel walking into that room? He's going to walk into the offensive, you know, because they break out rooms. And then he's going to have the team meeting with the offense and go, oh, my God, they're in the second-to-back rows, Trey Tucker. Oh, here in the second row is Jacoby Myers. Oh, there's Devontae. Devontae's sitting up front. Oh, my God, there's Brock Bowers, Zeus, Samir White, and Michael Mayer. How am I going to get him the ball? How am I going to get him the ball? Here's how you get him the ball, everybody. You must not go 3 and out. You can no longer go 3 and out and then wait 6 minutes to get the ball back because the first ball you got to get is to Devontae. I agree with that. Devontae's got to get it. So you wonder why Michael Mayer can go a whole game without getting a target because they're going 3 and out. You're going 3 and out, you're not going to have time. You need sustained drives. So I love Brock Bowers now because he can touch the ball behind the line of scrimmage. He can touch the ball in a jet sweep. He can touch the ball in some type of scheme behind the line of scrimmage. As you know, I don't like the check down. I don't like the check down. Now I love it. Oh, my God, Derek Carr, I hope he's not listening. I would get kind of critical of Derek on 4th and 13 when he checked down to a 5-yard out. Now on 3rd and 8, I don't mind checking down to this Brock Bowers kid. Check down to him, and let's see how he gets you 12 yards. So I'm not going to be crazy about the check down. So I'm excited. This is going to be great, and I'm ready to roll this week. And if you're going to the Rolling Stones, remember, we're brought to you by PTs. They fuel the monologue. You can find a PTs. How's this for a Stones pre-party? You can go into any PTs, have half-price drinks from 5 to 7, and roll into the Stones. So that would be a good way to get your Cinco de Drinco on and getting ready for the game there. And then next week might be one of my favorite weeks of the year. It's a schedule release. So we're excited about the schedule release. That comes out next week, so we'll find out, as I made the announcement from Grimaldi's last week, the Black Hole and JT the Brick in third person have both agreed to put together the largest New Orleans party since I threw the last largest New Orleans party. Don't know what date's going to be. Don't know what date it's going to be, but I'll be in New Orleans, I promise you, and we'll do that. And hopefully we'll all get together in Los Angeles. A lot of people are freaking out about the rules of Costa Mesa. I don't know the rules of Costa Mesa, man. I don't know what the rules are. Who gets to go? Season ticket holders, VIPs and all that. I don't make the rules, man. I try to stay within the rules and see what happens here. But I think some of us are going to hook up in Costa Mesa, and hopefully the breeze will be blowing into Newport Beach, into Balboa Island, and we'll have a nice time cooling off and getting out of Vegas in July and August when we bake like potatoes and it's so hot that you have to be in air conditioning. So that's what I got. I don't got a lot of deep stuff today other than Antonio Pierce's press conference. We are not on summer schedule yet. We're going to do the top 10 games in Raider history. That's going to take Bobby and I a lot of work. So there's two ways you can do summer radio. You can take some vacation, check, we'll do that. You can go to Costa Mesa, do live radio shows, check, we'll do that. And then you can come up with a theme of all summer. Last year it was the greatest Raiders radio team of all time, two players at every position. And this year we're going to do the top 10 games in the history of the Raiders. Top 10, 10 to 1. And we're going to put it together with the fans, and it's going to take time to build out as we get going with that. So I'm big on the Knicks tonight. I'm excited about that. I'm going to dinner with my son at Piero's. He's never been there. Shout out to the service there. I'm looking forward to going to do that as my son is in the workforce now. And I'm excited. And we're going to have a good weekend. Then my parents come in next weekend. My dad will be turning 86. So we're going to have a nice 10 days, 12 days with my parents in town. And I'm looking forward to that. Life is good. Life's good here on the flagship of the Silver and Black. And we're going to be doing some specialty programming with the Raiders for schedule release. When I have more details on that, we'll let you know about that. Very quickly, before we get to the phone calls, I got to remind people that they can call in. I don't know what the hell you're thinking every day. Like, we're the only show left. We're the only channel in town that takes phone calls for sports. I mean, really, a lot of other channels just want to talk about cheeseburgers and, you know, what they do on the weekends. We want to talk sports if we can. So if you want to get through, 702-365-9200. Just a taste of Antonio Pierce first on his first draft as the head coach of the Silver and Black, which was just completed.
Yeah, I thought the first draft working with Telesco and our personnel staff, our coaches, I thought did an excellent job of getting information, discussing, working through different scenarios, working through hiccups. Then we got to the draft. We had a plan. It was clear. We stayed on track. I think the coolest thing about it, when you had so many mock drafts or different scenarios that you think can play out, the first round's interesting, but then after that, it becomes kind of like clockwork, right? You add, you subtract, and you look on your board, you see your guys here, and you go get the players that you know fit the Raiders.
Yeah, I think that's great. You know, this is his first draft as a head coach. It's not his war room. It's Tom Telesco's and Mark Davis's, and Antonio Pierce was fantastic. He rolled right in there and sure had tremendous opinions. I can't wait to talk to him privately about that and what he saw and how he liked it. Picking Bowers was a big topic today. It's been a big topic on how Bowers came to the Silver and Black.
I mean, it's different. I mean, you're talking about the probably most dynamic football player in college football at that tight end position in a long time. And it's rare you get a guy like that, you know, that can line up as a slot receiver, see him in the backfield, reverses, catch the ball. But I think more importantly is toughness. Watching him block in the SEC, watching him get after guys, I mean, that's what impressed me. Just a gritty player, more importantly, a winner. And he can help us score points.
Help us score points. There you go. There we go. Why'd we take a tight end? Maybe because we, the season ticket holders, don't see enough scoring. Did you attend the Minnesota Viking game 3-0? Were you at that game? And you claim to be a Raider fan and say, we need corners first. No, no, we need to get in the end zone. We need to go 5 wide or 4 wide. We need to run 12 personnel and run people over and get the ball in the end zone so we're not chasing every game. Bowers was able to do that at Georgia. And then here's the big one, because again, I'm going to play about 10 minutes of this in hour number two. Here's the big one on Antonio Pierce with the quarterbacks and the fact that there were none left.
There was a lot of thinking NFL record, right? So it's one of those situations you just play it out. You're sitting there watching like everybody else, and again, you got your board, you got guys on your board, you're sitting there, and then you look, and you say, okay, look, we got A or B or whatever it is, and obviously we're very fortunate to get a guy like Brock Bowers in our room and in our building.
Yeah. Bobby, you reminded me today as you get on the mic that I shouldn't, because we were talking to Steph McKenzie, the greatest rock jock, the beautiful Steph McKenzie, who is a diehard Raider fan. Die Hard.
Yeah, a little
and,
bit, huh?
A little bit. And me and her were talking about Team Minshew or Team Aiden O'Connell, and you recommended I don't go down that road on Friday.
Maybe you want to hold off. Yeah. That sounds like something. If we're even going to do that, let's maybe do that maybe like mid-May or something.
Yes, that's great. Bobby been doing this with me for 25-plus years. Yeah, we don't need to do Team Minshew or Team AOC or who does JT have? Who is a quarterback he wants? Doesn't matter. They don't consult me. They don't consult me on who they're picking at quarterback, but they got a big decision to make. They got a big decision to make at quarterback because if they put a quarterback in to start the season and they don't win right out of the gate, I can promise you that quarterback will sit and the other guy will get a chance. That's the one thing I know is positive. Whoever gets picked to start is going to have a real short leash, I would think, because it's going to be heat to win. Heat to win right out of the gate here, no doubt about it. So who's ever ready and earns it should have an opportunity to get it done. So that's it. And Jason saying, so when do you, JT, come up with the top 10 games of all time? The game against Houston, the day after Al Davis died. I don't know what the top 10 games of all time are. Some of them aren't all wins. The Tuck rule is a top 10 game of all time. Not for the This is not the top 10 Raider victories of all time. This is the top 10 Raider games of all time. Some of them were losses, including the Immaculate Deception and the Tuck Rule. So again, this isn't a pom-pom contest. One of the greatest 10 victories of all time. So I don't know. I haven't done this. I'm consulting with some Raider legends on this, some Raider brass to figure that out, and we'll see what happens. Raul says Bo Jackson versus Brian Bosworth. That's one of the greatest Raider moments of all time. I don't have to go back and look at the game, the Heidi game. Right? You got three Super Bowl victories that are going to make the list, no doubt about it. What about AFC championship games? What about the ghost to the post? Right? What about the ghost to the post? What about the AFC championship win with Rich Gannon as it was hanging over the black hole against the Titans? I don't know. Going to put it together and we'll see where it stands. So that's what's going to happen here as we get going. All right, let's start off with Mike in Staten, Italy. Mikey's a friend. He's an aggressive gambler. He gave you the winner of the Kentucky Derby. Hey, Mikey, we're both Knicks fans. I won't touch that game. We got barely anybody to play. They might have only four guys suit up tonight. What's going on with the Knicks?
Yeah, JT, you know what? It's you're definitely under the gun here, but in Brunson, we trust. As long as he's healthy, let's come up with a good game plan. Let's just keep it close, JT. I don't want to see us down 30 in the middle of the third quarter and resting everybody. I want the Knicks to show heart that we're going to play defense. We're on demand, but they're going to make a game of it. The next time the Pacers play defense, it'll be their first time. So we'll get them with that. It's going to be, hey, listen, if you told me right now 2-2 going back to the Garden for the next 2 out of 3, I'll take it to get to the and the Celtics are showing anything but that. Two things, JT. I know how much the Rolling Stones means to you and your wife and your beautiful family. I look forward to it. Get there early. My friend is playing in the warm-up band, Pretty Reckless.
Oh, wow.
They were a New York City band. I know Ben Phillips personally, great guy. You know, you're really going to enjoy that. And I know I'm way early, JT. An early gambling story. 2014, I'll never forget it. The day I became a David Carr fan. With the Raiders down to the Chiefs late in the fourth quarter, and David Carr came back and won the game.
Oh, you meant Derek Carr, Mikey? You didn't mean David Carr. You mean Derek Carr?
I apologize. Yes. Derek Carr came back. You know, came back and won. I had at the time. I had those tickets they used to pass around in school, and I needed it to finish a 5-for-5 parlay, and that's what started me off, JT. So Derek Carr winning that game in 2014. I don't know if it was a big moment in Raider history. It was
good
a big thing of mine.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate the call. No doubt about that. Yeah, that was a great game, and that was a great Derek Carr game. Derek Carr never won a playoff game. He should have won multiple playoff games. And again, I use the term failed. There were times where Derek Carr didn't have a great team. He didn't have a great team around him. He didn't have a great defense. Didn't have a great offensive line. Derek was a great Raider. Always will go down, once a Raider, always a Raider. Raiders went in a different direction, and now, look, Derek's in a situation in New Orleans, which is somewhat similar to a situation of the Raiders now. I think both those teams are kind of the same. Yeah, you know, they're in that group that can either win 9-10 games, or Vegas thinks can win 6-7 games. You know, you got to win. Quarterbacks are going to have to win here, and we'll see what happens with the quarterback situation here. I'm interested in that. So we first call just came from Staten Island. Bobby, do we have a radio station in Vegas or in Staten Island? Oh, it's in Vegas. So Vegas fans, if you're out there, let's hear from you, 702-365-9200. Antonio Pierce's press conferences are good. I get a chance to talk to him after that. He comes right up, and we talk to him every week. And I don't know what's going to happen. A lot of people are questioning and asking me about Costa Mesa. I'm staying out of this one. No need to, because I don't know what they're doing. I like the move a lot. I like the weather move. I've been out here long before the Raiders ever dreamed of being in Vegas. Some people believe that Mr. Davis thought of Vegas. Maybe there's a lot of truth to that, Mark, but I've been here since 96. And whenever you can get the hell out of here in July or August, unless you have a cabana at Wet Republic that's paid for, where they sell bottles of $30 Tito's for $1,400, and you have a mister in your cabana, and you're in the water, it's just tough. It's tough to play football in Vegas in July and August. Look, my kids who played and, you know, had it both played a little bit, JV and varsity over at Bishop Gorman, man, I remember going to those practices in July and August going, what is going on here? It's tough. So Costa Mesa will be nice. If you're on YouTube, you can hit the like button or subscribe, and we're on YouTube at JT The Brick. YT. So coming up next, the Dean of the Newsmen, Chris Matthews, will join us. Also, Tom Telesco made the rounds. He was on Jim Rome yesterday. He was on NFL Network. We got some sound of that coming up on the other side. I think, I don't speak for the Raider Nation, but I speak for fans who don't have a voice to get on the radio. I think most Raider fans are pretty happy with Tom Telesco. Tom's had a nice offseason. It was a good, solid draft, and he brought in several free agents, and he might not be done yet. After Memorial Day, there might be a little bit of cash underneath the couch for him to go get another free agent like Stephon Gilmore, to go get a player like that, Xavier Howard, to try possibly to get a corner. How sweet would a lockdown veteran corner be? Oh, can you imagine that? How about that one? Because we got a right guard who's a beast. We got a lot bunch of good players. Fabian says, I just don't understand why people are freaking out about the Raiders training camp in Costa Mesa. When has training camp been widely open to the public? Question mark. Yeah, we had some good times in Napa with the open to the public and out here. And there's some rules out there. It's not the Raiders. You know, it's the Chargers and Rams territory, even though the Raiders have more fans combined than the Chargers and the Rams. You know, there's certain rules that you have to abide by, and we're cool with that. We're just looking to have fun, because once August, September comes around, and the games start to count, it's going to be unbelievable. All right, when we come back, we'll get to Chris Matthews. He was at the presser today, what the vibe was like over there. And we'll hear from him on what's happening. Next hour, we'll give you about 10 minutes of Antonio Pierce if you didn't hear it. We want to thank our proud partner, La Casa Cigars. Mike over at La Casa. 7 nights a week live music, the best cigar inventory I've seen. I mean, it's unbelievable. The back room, the front room. Sports are on, and Mike is at the bar with his beautiful wife and staff.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there wasn't really a point that would like kind of hit me, but it was kind of always like a feel thing. I always felt like I was better at tight end. I like catching the ball and trying to score instead of, I mean, this is kind of my favorite thing to do is go score with the ball in my hand.
Brock Bowers wants to score. Hey, we're brought to you by Resorts World this Friday. Their spa is fantastic. They have a Mother's Day massage, 60 minutes, rose aromatherapy, concluding with a complimentary glass of champagne. That's from May 11th through the 13th, or the Blue Diamond Facial, 60 minutes. How cool is that? Valued at $100 and a complimentary glass of champagne. That's available from the 11th to 13th. You could just go to their website and book all of that, and then you can dine in style after that. Resorts World, proud partner of our show. I look at their website every day. It's fantastic. Resorts World, Las Vegas, with all the deals they have. The Dean of the Newsmen, he was at the press conference today. Chris, did I see you hold it up? They were ready to leave, but you had one more question. I was listening. I go, there's my guy. He's got one more. What was that question, Chris?
Hey, Antonio, one more. Please, just one more. No, I was asking him as a first-year head coach and going through the the draft process with Tom Telesco as a guy who's going to make decisions and a ton of decisions down the road. What were there any eye-opening moments, any kind of wow moments for him? And like you heard on the press conference, his big wow moment was that the Brock Bowers was still sitting there on the board. So that was that was fun. I mean, I'm excited to see. I'm actually sitting right out here watching the team just wrap up the Intermountain Healthcare Performance Center wrap up their first practice with these current rookies and 31 guys out here trying to land a job. So yeah, it's exciting to have football back.
Yeah, Chris, what'd you see today? Because the star power of Brock Bowers got a big guard out of Oregon's top three players, another right tackle. But I thought Tom Telesco was very active, and one of his strengths is those undrafted free agents. And moments after the draft ended, he went to work. And there's a lot of other players there that a lot of people think who know, you know, college football better than I do. It's going to be a spirited rookie camp because there could be some surprises and players that weren't drafted who were undrafted.
Well, that's the thing, and it's interesting to watch some of these guys that you don't hear the names. You know, in fact, first of all, how about this? Gus Bradley's son out here, Carter Bradley, quarterback, throwing the ball, slinging it around out here. But how about this other guy from TCU, Andrew Coker, big tackle, 6'7", 315 pounds, big guy. He looked impressive. You mentioned Jackson Powers Johnson, 6'3", 328. He's just a solid wall out there, which is fun to see. And then, of course, we watched the lob kid, running back. He looked impressive. Just kind of fun to be out here and see these guys. And as I'm looking right now, Brock Bowers, they're bringing over him to the media podium, so you'll be hearing from him later on your shows and see what he has to say about this first big practice with the other guys trying to land a spot here. But, you know, Coach Antonio Pierce talked about this, just kind of being getting these guys out here, bonding these guys, getting to know them, having them work hard. He called them gritty players. And so it's just going to be interesting to see this season when Antonio Pierce and he gets the guys in here that he wants. He talks about gritty, talks about the Raiders, talks about the kind of nastiness of the players that he's looking for. So, yeah, we'll see if it all works out for him.
So Chris Matthews is our guest. And, Chris, everyone reporting, Aiden O'Connell, you were there. We'll get the first snap of the quarterback battle with Gardner Minshew. What was that like? Not tension-wise in the room, but a lot of fans are expecting a quarterback battle here. And I would assume Aiden O'Connell gets the upper hand because he ended the season as the starter.
Yeah, and it seemed like he had some high praise from Antonio Pierce, talked about how he just developed and how he got better and he's just working hard. He's one of those guys, you talk about Max Crosby, who's always in the room getting better, and nobody can keep up with Max Crosby, but then you hear Antonio Pierce saying that Aiden O'Connell was in here a ton during the offseason, working out, getting better, getting bigger, working on his passing, getting more accurate. The things that you saw last year, if you can improve on those things, we'll see where that takes him. But he also said, hey, Gardner Minshew's a fun guy, so it could be an interesting battle, a fun battle, but Antonio Pierce, ride him as they go into the season, at least into the camp, which will be interesting to see what these two guys do.
Chris Matthews, one more Raider question. What does 8 News Now think of Costa Mesa? You travel a lot. You do a lot of stories. You know what it's like to get out of the weather. You're the dean of the newsmen. You've been here a long time. To cool off for a couple of weeks, that sounds interesting to me. I'm going to enjoy it.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. If we're only a few hours from Newport Beach, I'm all in on that. So that'll be where I like to hang out, but I hope more fans get an opportunity to watch the team practice. I know there was an article by Vinny in the RJ, great writer here in Las Vegas, talked about might be similar to Las Vegas, where you have more of the season ticket holders, sponsors, and that sort of group that comes and watches in practice. But I kind of do hope they open it up a little bit, or maybe talk with the other leagues and say, hey, can we allow some more of our Raider Nation fans to come watch this practice? I think that'd be a cool gesture and really fun for Raider Nation down there. But, you know, like Coach said, not so much to get out of the heat here in Las Vegas, but that's got to be a big, big factor. But he says more of a bonding experience for this team when you think about bonding as a new head coach and getting this team together. How vital could that be?
Wrapping up with Chris Matthews, I watched you last night on the 11 o'clock news, and you talked about the Aces at the White House. That's spectacular to go back-to-back as they try to go for a three-peat.
Yeah, and it was interesting this year. Last year when they were there, they didn't have President Biden. It was Kamala Harris. So this year they had President Biden there, and Biden kind of cracked the joke. Hey, I like this back-to-back stuff. You know, he wants to stay in the White House, so we'll see what the – but, you know, you look at these players, and they are really, really talented, and there's no question – they are going to be the favorites going into the season once again. Everybody's back. they're they got these draft choices that can't even make the roster because his team is so good. So, and Asia Wilson, and I just like the chemistry of this team. You know, you look at them, they talk about how close they are, how tight they are. You got Chelsea Gray and Kelsey Plum and Asia, just a lot of talent. So it's going to be fun. They open up their season next Tuesday here in Las Vegas against Phoenix, and you know, and then it won't be too long, and you'll be getting Caitlin Clark in Las Vegas, and the place will be going nuts. So I'm excited about where the WNBA is headed. They're talking about that. You got more eyeballs, more money. Now they're going to be taking charter flights, which they wanted to do that for a long, long time. That came to fruition. So I just think the league's on a climb upward, which is going to be interesting to see how the Aces do in the league.
Yeah, Chris, last one. I'm having Golden Knight withdrawals. My social calendar took a massive hit over the last month. I'm not used to you doing the news and catching you and not throwing to some Golden Knight highlights.
Oh, man. In fact, I was just talking to Ed Graney, the RJ columnist here. I was saying, boy, Ed, it's just kind of weird not having the Golden Knights playing right now. And he goes, yeah, now we got to dig up stories. And that's kind of how it is now. Without the Golden Knights, they were such a big part of what we do in the late spring into the summer. Now we wait for the NHL draft, which, by the way, is going to be the first live sporting event at the Sphere, which is going to be phenomenal. I can't wait because you've been in there. I've been in there. I know the NHL is going to do something on the inside with that big video board and how crisp and sharp that is going to be. A lot of fun.
Well, Chris, I'm going to send you a picture of my dog because I know Ted's doing dog pictures now before they throw to you. And my wife's saying the other night going, come on, what about our dog? We want to get a little shout-out up there. So look for a dog photo and maybe Ted can fit me in after the weather.
Hey, I'll tell you what. You send me your dog photo and I will make sure Ted Florendo gets it on the dog pics. Yes, indeed.
Have a good one, Chris. Thanks for the time.
All right, thanks, Jason.
That's Chris Matthews. He's probably running over to Brock Bowers. Did you catch that? Brock was going up there, and Chris was kind enough to talk to us, so I should have let him go. Right when Brock Bowers was going to the podium there, the outside podium there. As the Raiders are rolling now, there's rookie camp. Rookies coming in, getting ready to practice and go out there and sign a contract. Man, they threaded the needle on getting those rookie deals done, and they're all slotted. And that's why it's important. You know, you get more money when you're slotted in the second round instead of the fifth round. It's all that. But you want to make your first deal count. And then you want the Raiders to come to you like they did with Hunter Renfrow and extend them before they should have or before they could have. And extend them, you get all that money. And then maybe you have a second contract. Man, that's important about the Raiders. They got to get more guys like they did with Colt Miller to get to that second contract. They got to get players who they draft, they develop, and then they re-sign them. That's why it was important to do that with Andre James. Andre James is important. What are you going to do, let him go? Now they got a center from Oregon who could be just as good as him, but they got a right guard now who's better than any right guard, maybe, rookie right guard in the league. So I like the fit. The offensive line and the improvement was very important. Very important as the Raiders had to come out and make sure in this rookie camp that they would have an offensive lineman. So Brock Bowers went first, the tight end out of Georgia, because he fell to the Raiders at 13. You heard Antonio Pierce talk about it. Every real Raider fan knows why they took him there. He fell to him. It was a gift from the football god. Second pick, the guard, who was really a center, Jackson Powers Johnson out of Oregon, the guy who knows the autumn wind. He's born to be a Raider, loves the Raiders. And he's going to play guard where he could play center. God forbid Andre James goes down, right? Someone rolls on his ankle. You know you got an elite center there. Then Glaze, the offensive tackle out of Maryland. Now he's going to play right tackle. Can he compete with Thayer Mumford? Why not? Thayer Mumford was taken in the second round. He's taken in the third, but I don't like starting rookie tackles. I don't. I don't like starting rookie tackles. Then Richardson, the cornerback out of Mississippi State in the fourth round. DeCarrion Richardson is a big one for me because he's tall, he's long, and he's going to have to compete, no doubt about it, against Shakorian Bennett to see what happens there. Tommy Eichenberg out of Ohio State's a unique one. You heard a lot of people talking about him because he played in so many big games at Ohio State. He had a better college career, I think, than Robert Spillane. I don't think anybody would debate that Tommy Eichenberg, who had the green dot at Ohio State, played in a lot of big games, but he's a rookie. And then Dylan Laub out of New Hampshire. A lot of people are talking about this running back on special teams and kickoffs. Trey Taylor, the safety out of Air Force. We'll see how he plays. Coming from the Air Force and the discipline and played in some big games. And then they got Devonshire out of Pittsburgh, the cornerback, MJ, on the back end. But I went through the list before the show of the undrafted free agent signings. You know, Carter Bradley is Gus Bradley's son from South Alabama. Ron Stone Jr. out of Washington State. He's the edge rusher. I know that because my son's good friend, Jaden Hicks, got drafted by Kansas City at safety. So I asked about him. He's a good player. But the player that everybody's talking about is Andrew Coker, the offensive lineman out of TCU, undrafted. Let me assume in this conversation, because you don't want to assume anything, that he makes the team. They need depth on the offensive line, and Andrew Coker looks like a beast. Unbelievable beast. And we'll see if he can make the team and have an impact. They also took two centers, Clark Barrington out of Baylor, and Will Putnam out of Clemson. So they went out and got the players that they needed to add a depth here. I still think they need a corner on the other side. 702-365-9200 as we continue on. Next hour, we'll play more of Antonio Pierce and what's going to happen there. Antonio Pierce, this is where it's a lot of fun. I wish I could have been there today. Obviously, here hosting the radio show, and they didn't have the facility, the radio studio for me, so we came into the studio today as we're live on YouTube. Next week, we'll be broadcasting there on schedule release, and we'll jump all over that opportunity to be there with the Raiders. So that's where we're at today. Bobby's here. He works hard to put the show together. Let's hear from a Raider fan. What is the one thing that you want to see in this rookie camp? Obviously, no injuries. We get that. Don't waste our time. But what player do you think has the best chance to have a big impact other than Brock Bowers? It's easy to say Jackson Powers Johnson, but the cornerbacks are someone that I'm going to be keeping a real close eye on. And Delmar Glaze, the tackle out of Maryland. If he has a big camp and a big preseason, what could happen is him potentially being a starter. Long time before we talk about the starters, but I wanted to bring that up here as we get going. Want to thank our great friends who do a great job partnering with our show. And I mean big, 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 big. We just had a meeting with them the other day, and we can't thank them enough. What the M Resort Spa and Casino does, when all these legends come, they stay at one place, the M Resort. They're comfortable there. They love the spa. They love the pool. They love the Raiders Tavern and Grill, the concerts that are there, real comfortable there in that environment. Hour number one wrapping up here at the top of the hour. We have a big hour number two coming up, and then my bucket of Modelo's on ice. Put a bucket of Modelo on ice every Friday to reward myself for a great week of radio from our audience for contributing. Modelo, the fighting spirit of the number one beer in America. Say it with me. Modelo, the number one beer in America.
I mean, just different. I mean, you're talking about the probably the most dynamic football player in college football at that tight end position in a long time. And it's rare you get a guy like that, you know, that can line up as a slot receiver, see him in the backfield, reverses, catch the ball. But I think more importantly, his toughness. Watching him block in the SEC, watching him get after guys, I mean, that's what impressed me. Just a gritty player, more importantly, a winner. And he can help us score points.
Antonio Pierce spending a lot of time today talking about Brock Bowers. Hackney Diamonds, the tour. Here's the Stones. Turn it up, Bobby. Angry with me. I never caused you no pain. I won't be angry. Rolling Stones are easy. Either you get it or you don't. If you love the Stones, you're a fanatic like I am, or you just want to enjoy a good time out. So we're going to try to figure out what the weekend looks like here. Good to hear from everybody. Hour number one coming to an end. Sometime next hour, Bobby will tell me. We're going to take about 10 minutes of Antonio Pierce, and we'll knock it out for you if you didn't get a chance to hear that. That is coming up as we get rolling here as the storm clouds, a couple clouds starting to roll in right outside Summerlin. Hardcore Raider checking in on a Friday. Thanks for waiting. Go.
Hey, JT, do you mind if I mention two games that are very memorable to me?
Sure.
I'm not going to say they're the best games, but so my first Raider game I ever went to was in 1999, because I lived out of California for a long time, but lived there for a long time after that. But it was 1999, we played Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So this is when we had Gruden before we went to Tampa Bay, before Tampa Bay was a juggernaut, and we had to face them in the Super Bowl. But we stomped the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 45-0. We held Mike Alstott to, like, it was like 6 yards or something.
Yeah.
It was just like one of the first blowouts we had in a long time. So that was a pretty cool game. But one of them I want to mention is December 24th, 2018. It was Christmas Eve. It was expected at the time to possibly be our last game in Oakland. It was a torrential downpour. It was like a hurricane.
Yeah, I remember that.
I was drenched head to toe right before the game. The Al Davis torch is lit, and there's like this iconic rainbow right over the Al Davis torch. It was like, I don't know, it's just memorable. And then it like cleared right as the game started. And then Dwayne Harris picks up the ball at like the 1 yard line when we're playing the Broncos, runs it back for a touchdown. That stadium was so rocking. I know we were in Oakland for another year, but I always felt like that should have been like our last big game because the way it ended, it was just such
an
iconic game.
Yeah, that return was incredible on the ball that was just sitting there and he picked it up and ran it back. That was one of the great returns in the history of the franchise, no doubt. Thanks for the call. Wow, Chris in West Oakland now on the YouTube chat, man. Look at everybody there, the royalty, Fabian. Look at everybody in the YouTube chat. Iceman, everybody who's there like that. As the Raiders are at rookie camp today, and you're going to hear a lot of this with Q coming up because they're all talking. So they're talking, and our team here at Raider Nation Radio is gathering all that sound coming up. Murph is in Buffalo, man. I love Buffalo, New York. I went to Geneseo State University about an hour from Buffalo. Murph, what's going on?
Hey, JT. We got a beautiful day here in Western New York, buddy.
Nice.
So that's sun shining on our faces, on all of us. I'm really, start off the draft. I was really happy with it. The Brock Bowers pick, I mean, that was, you know, very big surprise, but hey, that's awesome. I'm excited about that kid from Mississippi State, Richardson.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be a freak athlete. I mean, his size is pretty it's pretty nice, too, to have that. So that's who I'm excited for in training camp. And, you know, also, I might as well mention that safety out of, where's he?
Air Force? Yeah, Trey Taylor.
Yeah, I mean, Jim Thorpe Award, I'll take it.
Thank you, friend. Appreciate it, Murph. Enjoy the good weather in Buffalo, where my buddy Roxy, one of my fraternity brothers, listens every day on the mobile app, and maybe you can catch us on YouTube now. When you come to Richardson, the cornerback out of Mississippi State, he was taken in the fourth round before Tommy Eichenberg out of Ohio State, the linebacker there, because the Raiders didn't take a corner until the fourth round. And there was some talk of Terrion Arnold maybe being the pick for the Raiders there at 13. They had to go get a corner, and they had to wait to the fourth round because people were wondering about that. What were they going to do? That's Chris in West Oakland. He can do many things at once. I'll watch on YouTube and call the show. Hello, Chris.
JT, I'm doing a lot sitting in my recliner because I'm getting too old. You know, 18 innings and 8 hours at the Coliseum full of alcohol on Wednesday, then the Colombo Club dinner last night. I need a day of rest, but I figure I can sit here and give you a call. I heard some of the talk. I just wanted to weigh in on my best Raider game or favorite Raider game of all time. So many to choose from, especially just the ones I attended. The Sea of Hands game, the Stabler against New England in 76, goes to the post. Monday night when they were down 35-14 in the fourth quarter and came back to beat in 79 Stablers last year on a Monday night in New Orleans. But I'm going to throw one out here. Favorite game maybe I ever attended, non-playoff game, was actually in Los Angeles. Raiders had the win to make the playoff in 93, Jeff Hostetler's first year. Last day of the regular season, Raiders are trailing 30-13, entering the fourth quarter, come back and score 17 straight points. Haas literally hits Alexander Wright in the right corner of the end zone on the final play of regulation. Game goes to overtime. Jason Elam misses a short kick. Raiders come down, and Raiders end up going to the playoffs on a Jeff Gossett field goal. Yeah. Then the next week came back again and just hammered the crap out of the Broncos. To this day, of all the playoff games and non-playoff games, maybe my favorite best-played regular season game I've ever been in. But like I said, I came in a little late in the half hour. I wanted to get in on this call, this subject a little bit, enjoy yourself with the Stones, man. You've certainly seen them enough, and I'm looking forward to seeing them when they hit the Bay Area.
Talk you got to you later, it, Chris. Thank you. Appreciate the call. Thanks for checking in on that. Yeah, I don't want to go too early on the greatest Raider games of all time. That's part of our summer programming. That's what we're going to be doing here. So hour number two coming up on the other side, and I just walked down the hallway, and they're cutting up some sound of some of the practice today. I don't know if we're going to be able to get to it during this portion of the show, but we're going to try to get that before Q. We're going to play Antonio Pierce. I think, Bobby, we're good just playing Antonio Pierce for 10 minutes, so he'll move the needle, and we'll do that a little bit. The draft picks are all there. The undrafted free agents are there. Everybody should be excited about this. You know, next hour I'm going to talk about this. I didn't want to go too far yesterday. I was in a pretty bad mood yesterday with the 6.5 season win total. And with the NBA, I'm watching a lot of NBA now. I'm watching more NBA than I'm watching Raiders. Fact, I'm not apologizing for that. I'm watching the NBA playoffs because I got another job, too, that I got to keep an eye on tonight. Knicks and Pacers, Brunson, the second player ever with 35 points per game and 8 assists other than Jordan ever. Oscar Robinson, the list there. So tonight's going to be an interesting game. We'll see how that plays out. The late game on ESPN will be the Nuggets and the Wolves. And the Nuggets, if they're a reigning champ, they should put up a fight because it's an elimination game for them. I don't think they will. The Wolves look good, but maybe if the Nuggets can steal this game, we'll have a series. And Bobby, get on the mic for a second. Your Celtics did what you were hoping they wouldn't do. Took a night off, and that game wasn't even close. That wasn't even close as the Cavaliers punch your Celtics, Bobby, in the mouth.
I told you that they were going to lose at least one game. That's what these guys do. They screw around and they get beat every time.
Yeah, they did screw around and get beat. No doubt that Celtics, what are Celtics doing losing at home to the Cavaliers? What is that all about? The Rangers winning overtime. That was exciting to see. Vancouver versus Edmonton is a fun series. Just wish we had some hockey that was here. All right, next hour we'll dive into it and then I'll be done for the week. I'm back on Sunday on Mad Dog Sports Radio and then busy week next week with the schedule coming out. Remember, I'll give you my hint on the schedule. Open up your favorite airline app, mine's usually Southwest. The minute that schedule comes out, go to your favorite airline and book a airline ticket. Don't worry about the hotel. That's not a problem with the tickets. Get your airline as the schedule comes out next week.